You ready for Basecamp Fitness's best deal yet? 7 days for $7. That's right, 7 days for $7. It's time to double down on your fitness goals and snag this offer before it's gone. Call or text Basecamp Fitness at 913-232-9770 or go to basecampfitness.com to learn more.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Wednesday, September 30th, 2020. That's right. Just like a hot cup of coffee, we've got Adam Kaplan here to get your morning started right. Adam, no question, it's more of a statement, Mahomes. Your thoughts?
Yeah, he was really incredible. And by the way, the throw of the game, maybe one of the best throws of the season so far, the almost blind pass to Mecole Hardman, where he was dropping back, throwing off his back foot, and he threw it to a spot without actually seeing Coleman. He threw it there, and Coleman had to go get it. It was just an incredible pass, great visual by ESPN on the with the end zone shot, and truly just remarkable. He absolutely broke down the Baltimore defense, and they had no clue and no answer for him. It's almost unfair sometimes because when you think you've got him beat, he beats you. It's really remarkable.
It's also remarkable that the Chiefs seem to have the Ravens' number. I mean, Lamar Jackson called him the kryptonite, and he did not have a good game. And it's weird for us as Chiefs fans because, honestly, Adam, like I've watched him up close three games now against the Chiefs, and I'll admit I've watched those games closer than any other Ravens game. And you almost think, okay, how'd this guy win the MVP? You know, because he just hasn't looked that good against the Chiefs, and I realize he's pretty much looked unstoppable against everybody else. How do you explain that?
Well, actually, what happened was, if you look at the playoffs, and this is really the key, if you get up on the Ravens, the game's almost over. If you get up by, more than 10 points, let's say you're up by 13 or more, it's over because the Ravens are built to play with a lead and run the football. This is what they do. On Lamar Jackson, when they have a lead, they'll take an occasional shot downfield with Hollywood Brown, their second-year receiver, the first-rounder last season. But they're just built for the run game, and they're not built to play from behind. And this is really the key. And it was good that Andy Reid was aggressive, and they mixed the run in with Edwards-Helaire, and he was terrific. Everything really worked well. And the other good thing is they really shut down Mark Andrews there, standing tight end. Spags' defense was terrific. They were absolutely prepared for Lamar Jackson, and you got to give it up to the coaches. The Chiefs coaches outcoached the Ravens coaches. There's no question about it.
We have Adam Kaplan on the line, and look, we should never be surprised by what Patrick Mahomes can do. But man, oh man, it was wild to see him just move the football team, move the offense up and down the field in the first half, and all the way around, like you said, the coaching staff, it was just complete domination by the Chiefs, even though they made some mistakes. But for Baltimore, was this just all about how good the Chiefs were? Or have we been too quick just to say it's the Chiefs and the Ravens and nobody else because they have the Steelers to deal with? And now the Bills look pretty good. Do you think there's some real competition with that Baltimore has to face to be that team that's right behind the Chiefs?
Hey, look, I did pick Baltimore to win the AFC North, but I'll tell you what, the Steelers' defense, ever since they made that trade for Micah Fitzpatrick last season from the Dolphins, it really took them to the next level. It really improved their secondary and their pass rush, although Watt is hurt this week. He's not expected to play. Their defense is phenomenal. Brent Roethlisberger's back. You saw what happened last year when he wasn't there. They have one of the deepest receiver cores in the National Football League. Their offensive line is without two starters, which is a little bit of an issue. But they're right there. You mentioned the Bills, who are clearly the class of the AFC East, though the Patriots, we'll get to them in a second. They're probably a little bit better than people think. The AFC right now, quite frankly, is a little bit stronger than the NFC, which is not what I thought coming into the season.
Well, let's get into those Patriots right now then, Adam. That's the game coming up for the Chiefs. Just get your thoughts right off the bat. What do you think of the matchup?
Love the matchup. Cam Newton is playing really, really well. Not a lot of people are talking about him yet, but they will. He's certainly in the running for comeback player of the year. He's healthy. You know, he's in his 30s now, but he's still got plenty left. The thing about the Patriots is that when you don't think they can move the football, they do it. Whether it's Julian Edelman, who had the huge game against Seattle a couple weeks ago, they got the run game going. Sony Michel has been a disappointing former first-round pick, had a great game last week, one of his best games as a Patriot. So some really good runs there. And their offensive line, which has had some injuries and some concerns, they're handling themselves pretty well. They have a great secondary, one of the best secondaries in the National Football League. And that matchup, the Patriots secondary against that group of receivers. And one thing I do want to mention for the Chiefs, the difference between the Chiefs' offense this year to last year is the contributions from Sammy Watkins so far. He is really helping them, giving them another pass target for Mahomes. There's no question about it. He is helping them. And you're going to need that because what you want to do is you want to spread the Patriots out. There are certain advantages that you have. I think some of the at safety is really where it's at. Patrick Chung, their veteran safety who opted out. The go with Adrian Phillips, you guys might remember from the Chargers, is more of a special teams player. He's now starting because they just don't have anybody else. And I think what you have to do is you have to attack their safeties a little bit. And Kelsey's the one. I'll be very interested to see what Belichick does here. Who is he trying to take out? Last week it was Darren Waller, which I fully expected. But is it going to be Tyreek Hill that he tries to take out? Is it going to be Kelsey? How do you do that? That's going to be that chess match between Belichick and Andy Reid and Bieniemy and Mike Kafka is going to be fascinating.
That's the thing about the Chiefs, though. You can take one or two guys away, maybe, but you know, Mecole Hardman is a factor. Sammy Watkins, as you said, when he's on the field, the Chiefs' offense is much better. Hill and Kelsey, Clyde Edwards-Helaire becoming more of a factor as a receiver like we expected. And then when you've got everything accounted for, those rare times when you do call the right defense and you're executing it, well, then when things break down, Patrick Mahomes has become a fantastic running quarterback when necessary in the right situations, a very intelligent runner. And on third down, that's a backbreaker. So that's what separates the Chiefs from everyone, right?
Yeah, what you just said in the latter part of it, the backbreaking plays, when the pocket breaks down on third down, it just demoralizes your defense and your coaches because you think you've got defending correctly. You've got everybody stopped, the tight ends and the receivers and even and CEH out of the backfield, who certainly in the screen game is really going to be a factor going forward. That's what makes him the NFL's best quarterback. And you can't, the other thing is you cannot mimic his movement and where he's going because you have no idea. And the other part of this, which we should mention because it doesn't get mentioned enough, the coming back of the ball from the receivers is really important. Their timing, understanding, because they're practicing with Mahomes every week, they know these so-called second reaction plays when the pocket breaks down. They know to come back to the football. That is so special, and that timing between Mahomes and his receivers is very, very important. And it's going to be important going forward, particularly in this game, because Belichick is going to come up with a defense. Sometimes he does this. Coaches have told me that every once in a while he'll come up with a defense that he has not run before because he's going against an offense that is pretty special here. The chess match between Reed and Belichick is absolutely fascinating here.
Well, one of the things that I think is fascinating about that Patriots defense, too, is the list of players that opted out before the season. And is Bill Belichick, I know he's probably the greatest defensive mind in the history of the sport for the reasons that you just mentioned, but is he that big of a genius that he can overcome even all the losses that they've had?
Well, listen, their best linebacker, Hightower, opted out. Patrick Chung, who I mentioned earlier, those are pretty significant. They're two key starters for them on defense. But that's the thing about their schedule so far. They've not really been tested like they're going to be tested this week. And that's the thing about this matchup is the Chiefs definitely have some advantages. But also, though, the Patriots, with Gilmore at corner, with McCourty, the other corner, the other veteran corner, I'm very interested to see how the Patriots, who play a lot of man coverage, how are they going to handle playing Hardman, who now comes in sub-packages, with Tyreek Hill, obviously. Watkins is not explosive, but he's a good intermediate receiver. And then, of course, Kelsey. Without Patrick Chung, you don't have that advantage anymore. There are certain advantages I think you have, so Belichick is going to have to do something to try to minimize the impact of those losses. It's a fascinating chess match here. And then, you know, the CEH in the screen game and the pass game, they have an advantage because he's so explosive. It's going to be fun here. You know, the one thing, though, that is a little bit concerning, it hasn't happened yet, you know, all these personnel losses and injuries that the Chiefs have had on their offensive line, it has not been a big factor yet. But at some point it's going to be where a defense has a little bit of an advantage because the Chiefs are not super talented on the offensive line, particularly in the interior. That to me is the one issue that I have with the Chiefs offense going forward.
Adam Kaplan, what will the score be on Sunday at Arrowhead?
Yeah, I actually went up getting this one right. I went back and forth, but I went up going with the Chiefs. I'm going to pick the Chiefs to win this game 27-23. I think it's a tight game. I don't think it's super high scoring, though it could be. And I have not even looked at the weather report. But the fact of the matter is that this is going to be – I thought the game of the year was this past Monday night. No, this is the game of the year. Two coaches who coached against each other in the 05 Super Bowl. This thing here, that one was in Jacksonville where the Patriots were victorious over the Eagles. And this is such a fascinating chess match. I cannot wait to watch the game. And this could actually be a preview of the AFC Championship game. There's no question about it.
Yeah, the other game I was looking forward to watching, the Steelers and the Titans. Are we going to see the Steelers and Titans on Sunday?
Yeah, that's the question. And the league has several scenarios here. Now, despite, I know there's a report out there that maybe the Titans may not have any practices and still play the game. I don't think that would happen. I don't think you could play a game without having players practice. It's never happened before, and you just can't do that. You've got the Monday night option. You have two Monday night games. Tuesday, I'm told, has not been discussed, but Monday is something that you could look at. But you just cannot have players go out there and not practice and then play a game. It's just not safe also. It's really eight people. You've got three players and five personnel, five people, non-player with the Titans that have tested, or either have tested positive or been in contact with other people who've had COVID. So this is very troublesome. This is, by the way, the biggest fear that the NFL would have is there would be an outbreak with the team. And, so far, by the way, the Vikings, who obviously played the Titans last week, we don't have any positive tests from them. But, hopefully we could get this done where we can get this game in. Now, they could obviously reschedule it and move the buys around. But this is obviously the biggest fear. And so far, this is the first time we've had this.
Hey, Adam, one other story I wanted to ask you about before we run out of time. How about Nick Foles getting moved into the starting quarterback spot against the Bears, or for the Bears,
Yeah, I could tell you that. I know they're 3-0. They certainly don't look like a 3-0 team. So my understanding is that even if Trubisky finished the game last week, if they lost, they probably are going to pull him anyway and go to Foles. So not really surprising. This coaching staff knows Nick. Nick Foles, is you guys know him. Andy Reid talked him out of retiring for the 16 season. He gives them a little bit better chance to win here. I give them credit for doing this. It's not easy to bench the second pick overall from the 2017 draft, and they'll be looking for a quarterback next year. That's the one thing they've not gotten right there with the Bears is their quarterback situation. But they've been a fun team to watch, no question about it. They've been very opportunistic. They're playing very close games, by the way. But, Nick Foles, the problem with Nick has been over his career is he's had trouble sustaining success. And that's the challenge there for John DeFilippo, the quarterback coach, and their offense coordinator, Bill Lazor, and obviously the head coach, Matt Nagy, who you guys know from the Chiefs.
Hey, Adam, thanks for the time. I had several other questions, but unfortunately Doug Peterson decided to punt the rest of the segment. So,
wow.
No chance to do that. Adam,
we'll talk to you. that was a little bit surprising with the Eagles. How bad are the Eagles? That's been surprising so far.
Adam, we'll talk to you next week, man. Thank you.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks.
Jake, Doug Peterson decided to punt the rest of the segment.
He punted it in overtime. They tied.
Yeah.
Well, I'd say we tied that segment.
I'd say we won that segment.
Mm-hmm. I'd settle for a tie at this point. But it's football humor. Don't you get it? I like it. I want you to like it. Doug Peterson did say that looking back on it, I would have probably gone the other way and maybe taken a shot down the field and put the ball up in the air. So he said, looking back on it with clearer eyes this morning, a lot of things could have happened.
Yeah.
Pass interference, illegal contact, could have been an offensive holding, could have been a sack. A lot of things that go into those plays. Looking back on it, that's probably what I would do. That's good. That because most coaches would just double down and be stubborn. Nope, I'd punt all over again. And he's already... He probably realized that walking off the field, like, what the hell did I just do that for? Because as Nate has brought it up so many times, what did Guy Morris say down at Baylor about ties?
Really weird.
Did you ever say, yep, that's right? Or did
no.
was your...
No, I never said, I, no. That's just weird.
By the way, did we ever find out if Guy Morris has a sister?
I don't know, but that's quite concerning.
She liked that. Do you think she liked that?
No. Well, I don't know. I don't know his sister, if he has one. I don't know what her attitude is.
Mm-hmm.
Can we break? I'm real uncomfortable.
Do you have any comments on this?
I do not. I'm super uncomfortable.
We don't have a lot of ties to talk about in the NFL, and Doug Peterson gave us the gift, and so we need to discuss it. That's all.
All right.
You don't have a sister. What's it feel like to you?
It feels same score.
Yeah. That's not very. That's not very descriptive.
Not. Oh, ties kind of suck. But you know what? It might help them in the winning percentage. Actually, it's not going to help either one of these teams.
Right. Like I said, for Cincinnati, that feels a lot better than it did for Philadelphia.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, we got a tie. Philadelphia's like, what?
I mean, there's little to no expectations for the Bengals this year, and I think there were pretty heavy expectations for the Eagles. Still are, and there's obviously they have work to do, but
I like that there's a group of Eagles fans online demanding that they trade Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
And give the keys to Jalen Hurts tomorrow.
By the way, that's not going to end well for Philadelphia or Carson Wentz.
You don't think?
No, I don't.
You don't think that the added bonus there that they drafted a quarterback in the second round is playing out really well right now?
Well, I mean, hey, who knows? Let's see when you get him on the field. It might play out perfectly for him.
Right, but I'm talking about for them trying to get through this rough time.
No.
And have people not demand Carson Wentz to be benched.
Absolutely not. If they had, I don't know, man. Philadelphia's weird, especially after what happened with Nick Foles there. You know, so they're automatically calling for the backup. But in this case, their backup happens to be a guy who has no faults yet.
Do you think they enjoyed watching Carson Wentz battle for a tie while Nick Foles was bringing the Bears back down two scores?
Can't imagine they enjoyed that at all.
Right. See, that's just, there's a lot of things that... A lot of ingredients to go in this delicious mix. Up next, here's an ingredient that adds a lot to the show. Gary Lezak will be on the show next on Sports Radio 810 WHB.